It's Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. Welcome, I'm your host Mark LeVillier, and coming up in this hour, Westerns. Later on, a tale from the Gunsmoke series from 1956, but right now, James Stewart has Britt Ponsett, the six-shooter, in a February 7th, 1954 broadcast on NBC.
James Stewart as the six-shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
The 2 p.m. from Chicago wasn't more than, about 45 minutes late. That was practically a record for this time of year, what with the spring floods and all. Of course, later on in the summer, when things had dried up, it was more than likely the train had hit Russville right on schedule. Once in a while, anyway. I climbed down from the buckboard Paul Poindexter had lent me and walked over to the platform. I guess I'd be able to recognize Clay Fenton, even though I'd never seen him before. It stood to reason that there wouldn't be more than one 16-year-old boy getting off at Russville Station, and Clay's mother had sent along a pretty complete description. He's 5'7", thin, gangly, sandy hair, and a V-shaped scar on his forehead. The train had stopped now, and the conductor lowered some iron steps. The first person to step down was a drummer holding a big tapestry valise crammed full of samples. Behind him, there were two ladies. They didn't have any suitcases, just boxes, so I figured they'd only been as far as Fort Davidson on a shopping spree. After them, there didn't seem to be anybody else at all. Well, now I'm sure that letter had said Clay'd be arriving on the 22nd. Mister.
Yep?
This is the Tuesday train, isn't it?
What day did you think it was?
Oh, I know it's Tuesday, but sometimes, you know, I was wondering if this could be Monday's train. I mean, you're not a day late, are you?
Well, of course we're not a day late. We're right on time, practically.
Uh-huh. Well, I was supposed to meet a young fellow traveling with you, about 16.
Mr. Ponsett?
Clay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I didn't see you get off.
I was riding in the last car. It took me a couple of minutes to get my things together.
This the fellow you're looking for, mister?
That's right. Thanks very much.
Whoop! Whoop!
Buckboard's right over here, Clay. Here, let me give you a hand of that suitcase.
Oh, it's not very heavy. I can manage.
Have a good trip?
Yes, sir. Just fine.
All right. Here, you go. Put your bag right behind the seat here.
Okay.
You want to drive?
Huh?
Well, you can handle a buckboard, can't you?
Sure.
Yeah, well, Annie's real gentle. No sense being scared of her.
I'm not scared, Mr. Ponsett.
All right.
I'm not scared of anything.
All right, Clay.
It's just that I don't know the way to the ranch, so maybe you'd better...
Yeah. I didn't think of that. Well, come on, hop aboard. There. All right, you all settled?
Yes, sir.
All right, Annie, come on. Let's go. Come on, Annie. Come on. It's your first trip west, isn't it, Clay?
That's right.
Yeah. Come on, Annie. Come on now. You know, you must have done some pretty smooth talking to persuade your ma to let you come out here all by yourself.
My coming was her idea, Mr. Ponsett.
Oh, I see.
Well, she thought Well, since I don't have any brothers and we've always lived in town, she thought maybe it would do me good to spend the summer on a ranch.
I say.
Of course, I was all for it, too.
You were, huh?
Oh, sure. Especially when I found out I was going to be staying with you. The other fellas, they sure were jealous when I told them I was going to be living with a six-shooter.
Well, we all pick up nicknames out here, Clay. Something to answer to besides your own handle. It doesn't necessarily mean anything, you know.
In your case, it means something, all
right.
No. Oh, Mom told me not to expect you to talk very much, especially about yourself. Yeah, I guess she knows you pretty well, Mr. Ponsett.
Well, we used to be real good friends, your Ma and Pa and me. That was when they lived up in Dakota before you were born.
Yes, sir.
Come to think of it, you look like your Pa.
Well, that's what people say, but I don't remember him. Funny, the only thing I can remember is sitting on his lap and playing with his watch chain. I remember that watch chain just as clear as day, but I just can't remember him. Wonder why that is.
Oh, some things just stick with a person, I guess.
Yeah. Is it a big ranch, Mr. Ponsett, where we're going?
No, it's not. Mr. Poindexter, he's the owner. Oh, he's got 500 head of cattle and a couple thousand acres, that's all.
It sounds pretty big to me.
That's all what you're used to, I reckon.
Yes, sir. It sure was nice of Mr. Poindexter to let me move in with you.
Oh, he was real pleased at the prospect of having an extra hand for the summer. There sure has been more than enough work for the three of us already.
You mean there's only three people on the ranch?
Well, there's four now, counting you.
Oh, I thought there'd be a whole lot more than that. I thought there'd be 10 or 15 cowboys and a cook and some men to look after the horses and...
Well, Saul Poindexter, he does the cooking himself, and Jeff takes care of the horses.
Jeff?
That's Mr. Poindexter's son. Yeah, he must be about your age, Clay. Maybe a year or two older. Not as tall, though.
Oh.
Jeff will show you the ropes. He knows all about ranching.
Oh?
Oh, I expect there's plenty of things you can show him, too, about city life. I mean.
Yes, sir. I expect so.
Yeah, you'll probably have a real good time getting acquainted. Well, here's where we turn off. Easy on you. Easy on.
Well, I didn't expect you back so soon, Brad.
Yeah, train was earlier than usual. Clay, this is Mr. Poindexter here.
How do you do, sir?
Pleased to meet you, son. Well, come on. Jump down here so I can get a look at you.
Yes, sir.
Let's see here now. Well, not much meat on your bones. But we'll soon take care of that.
That's the bunkhouse over there, Clay. You can start getting settled while I unhitch Annie here.
All right, Mr. Ponsett.
No. Hold on a minute, Britt.
What?
There's no reason why Clay can't unhitch the buckboard. This is as good a time as any for him to start learning his chores.
Oh, whatever you say, Saul. Think you can manage Clay?
I guess so.
Jeff will give you a hand. Jeff! Jeff! Where in thunder are you?
Well,
get out here.
I'm fixing that trailer you busted yesterday.
I don't care what you're doing. I say get out here. You think I'm hollering just to exercise my lungs?
Okay, keep your shirt on.
Fine way for a son to talk to his father. Just see that you don't follow his example, Clay.
No, sir, I won't.
Yeah, well, what's all the ruckus about? Oh, hi, Britt.
Jeff?
Yeah, this is Clay Fenton, Jeff.
Howdy. Hello.
I want you to help Clay unhitch the buckboard.
In those duds?
I've got some other clothes in my suitcase.
Like mine?
Well, not exactly.
Appears like we'll have to take Clay into town and fix him up with some Levi's and boots.
Yeah, maybe better.
Well, if you don't mind getting them fancy pants all messed up.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Come on in. Easy.
Clay, I'll put your suitcase in the bunkhouse.
Thanks, Mr. Ponsett.
Yeah. Seems like kind of the quiet type, Rick.
Well, this is all pretty new to him, Saul.
Yeah. Well, he'll get used to it. Jeff will see to that.
Yeah, I guess he will.
Well, I better start fixing supper. I thought maybe we'd have Johnny Cake tonight. How's that sound to you?
Sounds fine. Sounds fine, Saul. Well, I took Clay's things into the bunkhouse and emptied out part of a wooden footlocker so he'd have some storage space. Saul and Jeff lived up in the main house. There was room up there for me, too, but I always felt more comfortable in the bunkhouse. And besides the way Saul snored, holy smokes, you could hear it all the way down here when the wind was right. I thought about unpacking Clay's suitcase, but then I decided maybe he'd rather do it himself. Now, Saul was right. Clay sure was a quiet type. A lot more like his mother and his father. Ted Fenton had been about as lively as they come. He's always laughing and cracking jokes. I never could figure out why he sold that general store and moved back to East, but I suppose he had his reasons. Funny how a boy can grow up and be so different from his pa. A couple minutes later, I heard Jeff shout about something.
All right, then prove it. Prove that you ain't no dude. All right, I will. You're scared to ride.
Now, I couldn't quite make out what Clay called back, but I sure could tell they weren't exactly hitting it off. Well, I didn't actually blame Jeff for not taking the Clay. Of course, in the city, it had been Jeff who had been the misfit, but we weren't in the city now. Anyhow, I waited for Clay to come back into the bunkhouse, and when he didn't show up, I walked outside to see what had happened to him. He wasn't in sight, but there was something going on out in the corral behind the barn.
Riding, cowboy!
I got there just in time to see the apron-faced sorrel give a buck that sent young Clay flying clear over the corral fence. For a second, he didn't get up, either.
Britt, you see that?
Clay? Hey, you all right?
I guess so.
Sure he's all right.
Well, what the Sam Hill are you trying to do?
He said I was a dude, that I couldn't stay in the saddle.
You put him up to riding that sorrel, Jeff?
Nope, I gave him his pick of the ponies.
Now, you know that sorrel's a high binder. You should have warned him.
It ain't my fault if he can't tell a spooky horse when he sees one. It was his pick.
Here, Clay, you think you can stand up?
Yes, sir, I think so.
Let's see. Well, doesn't seem to be anything broken.
I guess I better change my trousers. They're all ripped up.
You got nobody but yourself to blame, kid. I told you didn't know the first thing about riding a pony. You should have fessed up to it instead of making such a fool of yourself.
I'll show you, Jeff. I'll show you I can ride. And I'll ride that sorrel, too. Just you wait and see.
You'd almost think he meant it, wouldn't you, Britt?
He means it.
City dude. He don't even know which side to mount.
Yeah. But that won't keep him from trying the sorrel again.
Well, if he does, he'll just get himself tossed off.
Maybe so. Clay changed his clothes and we all had supper. Nobody said much while we were eating, and nobody mentioned the sorrel again. I figured it was just as well to let the subject drop for the time being. And as soon as the dishes were washed, Clay and I headed for the bunkhouse. It was only 7:30, and that was half an hour before my usual bedtime, but Clay seemed pretty tired, so we turned in. I guess I must have been kind of tired myself, huh? Anyway, the first thing I knew, I dropped off. It was getting on toward dawn when I... one of the horses down in the corral was sure upset about something. I turned over and I saw that Clay's bunk was empty. Clothes were gone, too. For a second, I wondered if he'd run off, maybe tried to go home. Then I heard him coming into the bunkhouse. Oh, his face was all wet and shiny, like he'd been working up a sweat, and there were some dark stains on his pants and shirt. And he undressed, and he put the clothes he'd been wearing in his suitcase. Then he crawled under the blanket on his cot, and he pretended to go back to sleep. He hadn't noticed that I was awake, and I didn't see any reason for starting a conversation at 4 o'clock in the morning, so... Besides, whatever he'd been up to, probably wasn't any of my business anyway. Must have been a good hour later. I woke up again. I was dousing my face in a bowl of cold water. Washed the sleep away. Clay drug himself out of bed and started to put on some trousers. I noticed they weren't the same ones he'd worn when he went out during the night. I didn't get a chance to say anything about it. Just then, Saul Poindexter came charging into the bunkhouse like a bull after a red shirt. Ah, good morning, Saul.
Hey, Clay, I want to talk to you.
Why, yes, sir.
What's the matter, Saul?
I've just been down to the corral. That apron-faced sorrel's been whipped half to death.
What?
His flanks are cut to shreds. So I wonder he can even stand up.
Well, now, maybe he got caught in some barbed wire.
I found the bull whip beside the fence. It's caked up with blood.
Well, do you know anything about this, Clay?
No. No, sir, not a thing.
You're lying, you little...
Now, Saul.
Jeff told me about how the sorrel threw Clay yesterday. You knew about it, Britt. You were there.
Yeah, I was there.
Well?
I didn't do it, Mr. Ponsett.
If you didn't, who did? Me or Jeff or Britt?
I don't know.
Well, maybe if you were whipped the way that pony was, maybe then you'd tell the truth, you little...
Now, easy, Saul. Easy now.
Get him out of here, Britt. Send him back home. Send him anywhere. But get him off my ranch.
You didn't whip that pony, Clay?
I told you I didn't.
Yeah, that's what you told me.
Why don't you believe me then? Just because I'm a stranger, because I'm different from the rest of you, why do you have to pick on me?
Well, there's one way to find out whether you're telling the truth or not.
What do you mean?
You said you'd ride that sorrel again. You said you'd show Jeff that you could ride him, huh?
No, I would, too, if they'd let me.
Well, I'll let you.
Huh?
But I sure hope for your sake you didn't whip that horse last night.
What difference would it make?
Well, horses are pretty smart animals. And when somebody's mean to them, they don't forget it. And they can be mean, too. That sorrel especially.
Oh?
The person who beat him ever tried to climb on that pony's back, well... But as long as you weren't the one, well, you haven't got anything to worry about, have you? Come on, now. Let's go out the corral, huh? I told Jeff to saddle up the sorrel and bring him into the yard, and Clay stood beside me, his eyes pushed wide open, staring at that stable door. He didn't move a muscle until Jeff led the pony toward us. I could see the cuts on the animal's flanks, and he walked with a sore, unsteady gait. About 6 feet away, he stopped and flared his nostrils, and a little shiver jarred Clay's body. Then the sorrel let out a snort and reared. Clay caught his breath, and the pony sprang forward, almost tearing the reins out of Jeff's hands.
No!
Clay darted out of the way as fast as his legs could carry him. He ducked under the fence and kept running.
Well, you satisfied, Britt? You believe he done it?
I was pretty certain of it all along, so...
Well, then why'd we have to go through all this rigmarole?
At least he won't have any reason to go on lying from now on. That's something.
Yeah.
I sure wish I could figure out what got into him last night.
He's mean. That's what got into him. Mean, clean through.
Well, kids aren't usually mean to animals, so...
Your friend Clay Fenton is. Take another look at my pony there, if there's any doubt in your mind.
Well, we had breakfast, Saul and Jeff and me. Then we did the morning chores. I hoped that Clay would come back of his own accord and face up to what he'd done, but By 10 o'clock, it looked like somebody'd have to go after him, so I saddled up Scar and started off. It wasn't very hard to follow Clay's tracks across the prairie, and about 30 minutes later, I caught up with him. He'd stopped to rest in the shade of a chalk boulder, and he'd been too tired to stay awake. Whoa, Scar. Whoa. Whoa, boy. Easy. Clay? Come on, Clay.
Huh? Oh.
Yeah. I'll ask you. Ready to get back to the ranch?
I can't.
Well, you'll have to come back sooner or later, even if you don't stay, even if it's just to get your things.
They know it was me that whipped that pony, don't they? When I ran off, that cinched it.
Yeah, that cinched it.
I had to whip him, Mr. Ponsett. I had to.
You did, huh?
I didn't know it would make him meaner. I thought if I beat him good, he'd be scared of me afterwards, and he'd let me ride him. I thought he'd be scared of me the way I was scared of him.
You don't know much about horses, do you, son?
I know plenty. That's why I hate them.
Oh?
It was a horse that killed my pa.
Oh, I see.
We were visiting my Uncle Jack out in the country, and pa was taking me for a horseback ride. I wasn't more than 3 years old, but he wanted me to get used to riding. And the horse threw us. Mom was watching from the front porch. She let out a scream. I told you it was funny what you remember from the time when you were a kid.
Yeah?
Well, I remember hearing Mom scream. I guess maybe it was the first time I ever heard her sound frightened. I guess that's why I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Well, afterwards, after that day, I had this mark on my forehead. I must have hit against a rock. And Pa, well, Pa was dead. I've been scared of horses ever since. I've always hated them.
Yeah. Well, I guess a lot of times folks hate what they're afraid of.
That's why Mom made me come out to this ranch. I didn't want to, but she made me. She said I had to get a hold of myself and start acting like a man. And I tried, Mr. Poinsett. I tried to ride that sorrel yesterday. You know I tried.
Yeah.
And when
yeah.
I couldn't hang on, well, I figured if I showed him who was boss, I figured then maybe he wouldn't throw me again.
Now, whipping that pony the way you did, you could have killed him, Clay.
Well, what's the difference? He's just a horse, ain't he?
Uh-huh. Well, if you can't see where it was wrong, there's no point in me standing here jawing about it. So let's just... Clay...
Yes, sir.
No, don't move. No matter what happens, just don't move.
What?
But do what I say. Just keep sitting the way you are.
What's the matter?
There's a rattlesnake edging towards your belly. Now go on. Go on. Keep on talking. Just keep on talking like nothing's the matter. Don't try to look at him. Just go on talking.
I can't.
No, there's no reason to get scared yet now. He may shove off by and never know should you. Just keep on talking. Keep on talking now.
I can feel him on my leg.
Oh, you're imagining that, Clay. He's not even touching you.
Can't you kill him, Mr. Ponsett?
If he starts to strike, maybe I can get off a shot. But he isn't striking yet. Now, sometimes rattlers go on about their business and don't strike. Now, so you just keep sitting there. Just keep sitting there and keep talking like everything is fine. Go on, son. Now, go on. Talk. Go on. Clay did his best, but his voice sure didn't sound very strong or confident. Not that I blamed him. He was in a tough spot, and the worst of it was I just couldn't risk shooting. The snake was right between us. As long as he stayed there firing, I'd be sure to get a bullet into Clay. The rattler would just move off a foot or so, maybe. He was getting nervous now. The tip of his tail jiggled the rattles back and forth. I inched my gun out of the holster, but I still couldn't fire. And the snake started to coil, and the rattle sounded even louder. And his head swung up, and his beady eyes seemed to pop out, and he was less than a foot away from Clay's arm, and he was ready to strike if Clay had just so much as twitched. For a second, that rattler just hung in midair. And then he twisted, and he whipped towards Scar. And Scar reared, got out of the way. I could get off a shot now, but I didn't have to. Scar's hooves were saving me the trouble. They came down again and again and again until the rattler's body was half buried in the ground. And then Scar backed off, and the snake gave a flip of his tail, but the rattlers were broken. And there wasn't any sound. All right, Clay. Let's go.
Mr. Ponsett?
Yeah?
Why'd he do it?
What?
Your horse. Why'd he save my life?
Well, I guess he just doesn't like rattlesnakes, that's all.
The snake wasn't bothering him. He was out of the way. What's his name, Mr. Ponsett?
Scar.
Scar?
That's right.
That's funny. I guess if I was a horse, that'd be my name.
Well, it's...
I'd like to ask you a favor, Mr. Ponsett.
Go ahead.
Do you think that sometime, if I stay on here this summer, I mean, well, sometime could I ride him?
Well, if we're going to get back in time for dinner, we're going to both have to ride him right now. Here, come on, I'll heist you up. Come on, here. Easy for Clay. The next few weeks, especially since Saul Poindexter said if Clay was going to stay on, he'd have to look after that Saul. Pretty smart old man, Saul. Took time, lots of time. Lots of time before that pony even let Clay come near him. But before long, the two of them were galloping all over the ranch from early morning to past supper. I guess maybe that apron-faced Saul forgot the whipping Clay had given him. But I don't think Clay forgot it.
The Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may soon be seen in the Universal International picture The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Bill Johnstone, Bert Holland, and Sam Edwards, who played the part of Clay Fenton. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. By the way, you'll be interested in knowing that The Six Shooter has been chosen for broadcast to our men overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Services. This is John Wall speaking. Tonight, enjoy Sunday at Home with Jan Murray on the NBC Radio Network.
The Six Shooter on Tuned to Yesterday from February 7th, 1954 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. Next, an episode of Gunsmoke written by one of the co-writers for the Vincent Price motion picture in 1964, The Last Man on Earth. William Leicester contributed to that script and also wrote for television episodes of Westerns Have Gun Will Travel and even Gunsmoke a year after this broadcast called The Brothers, heard on CBS on September 30th, 1956.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Thank you. Mr. Dillon? Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
Oh, there you are. I didn't know you was asleep.
I wasn't asleep. I was just trying to get there.
Yeah, but I didn't see you laying here on the cot. I was looking for you to be setting up.
How could I sleep setting up, Chester?
I didn't know you were sleeping.
I wasn't sleeping, Chester. We just went through that.
God gracious, I ain't going to tell you what I come to tell you.
All right, that's fine with me.
By jing, I don't know it's going to be so fine for you at all.
You know, Chester, any more of this, and I'm going to take you out and soak you in brine.
And while you're doing that, Leif Tugwell's probably going to be shooting down some innocent citizen.
Leif Tugwell?
That's right. I'd know that long, sad face anywhere. His hair's might gray, but it's him right enough, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, he always did look like an undertaker.
Well, he oughta. He's buried enough men.
Yeah, maybe, but at least he never went looking for trouble.
He always managed to find it without looking. I don't like no part of him, Mr. Dillon.
Well, I'll go have a talk with him. Where is he?
He went up to Doc's office. And if I was you, when he comes out, I'd tell him to keep right on going. All the way back to Texas.
I've known Leif Tugwell a long time, Chester. I knew him when he helped clean up San Antonio, and they're mighty proud of him down there. He's no cheap gunman to be told to get out of town.
All right, then, ask him to leave, because if you don't, Mr. Dillon, there'll be trouble as sure as shooting.
Pinned a badge on you.
Well, I was just on my way up to Doc's to see you. Oh, it's Chester Proudfoot.
Hi, son. Don't believe I heard about you.
Well, I've heard an awful lot about you, Mr. Tugwell.
Well, you don't have to call me Mr., son.
And you don't have to call me son. I'm old enough to have saw you kill a man back in Abilene.
Never mind, Chester. Why don't you go on over to the Long Branch and have a beer, huh?
I'll just do that, Mr. Dillon. By golly, I'll just do that.
Kind of feisty, ain't he?
Well, it's not so much that, Leif. He just doesn't like trouble, that's all. And neither do I.
But you think I do, huh?
Oh, I know better than that. But I'd appreciate it if you took particular pains to steer clear of it while you're here in Dodge.
I won't start anything, Matt.
Oh, good. Then we won't worry about it.
We? That'd be quite a show, you and me. Could almost charge admission.
Yeah, maybe you could, Leif. But one of us would be winding up using his cut for a burial. Come on, I'll buy you a beer.
I don't think so, Matt.
No? Now who's getting feisty?
Look, I carry a gun, sure. If I'm a little faster than the next, it's because I've had to be. But I never killed a man who wasn't trying to kill me first. Is that against the law in Dodge?
No, it isn't. But we got a big population up on Boot Hill, Leif. And I'm interested in keeping it from getting any bigger.
So am I. By exactly one. Me.
Hello, Kitty. Oh,
why, Matt? I didn't see you come in.
Yeah? That's probably because you weren't looking.
Well, no. After all, what do I care about who comes in here as long as I got money to spend?
You can be more friendly than that.
Yeah, only to my friends. Thank heaven most of our customers aren't.
Oh? I take it you're not feeling very kindly toward people tonight.
Not very. Maybe it's just because I get sick of men stalking one another like wolves. Baring their teeth, hating one another.
Why
can't they sing and laugh and dance once in a while?
Well, they do, and you know it.
Not tonight, they don't.
Are you thinking of somebody in particular?
Well, that one doesn't help.
No, who?
That fellow at the bar. The one with a face like a hound dog. Look at the space on each side of him, and you'd think it was poison.
He is, Kitty. That's Leif Tugwell.
Oh. He seems quiet enough for a man with his reputation.
Well, it's his reputation I'm worried about. Every would-be gunman in Kansas would like to be able to say that he'd taken Leif Tugwell.
Mr. Dillon. Oh, hello, Miss Kitty.
Hello, Chester.
Mr. Dillon, there's a young fellow over at the Alfraganza talking pretty big, and it's all about Leif Tugwell.
Oh? What does he look like?
Small, stocky, got a real mean mouth on him.
Well, maybe I better go calm him down a little
bit. Wait a minute. You won't have to. That's him just come in. There. That one looking around like he's going to buy the place.
Well, he can't be over 18.
They're the worst kind, Kitty. The young ones trying to make a fast name for themselves.
Oh, my drink. Sad face, fellow bartender. The one with gray hair. Stand around, folks. Stand around. I suppose you all didn't know there was a famous man here tonight. You're going to drink with me, Tugwell.
Son, I don't think Mr. Tugwell wants to drink with you.
You standing up for him, Marshal?
I can handle this, Matt.
Calls you by your first name. Must be he's a friend of yours.
Well, maybe as long as we're bandying names about, you'll tell me your name.
It's Gore. Trace Gore. And I'm from Texas. Tugwell knows all about Texas. That's where he's running from.
I never ran away from anything in my life, Gore. That makes you a liar.
All right, give me that gun, Gore.
I came a long way to kill him.
I said give it to him. All right, now you get out of here.
I sure never thought I'd see the day when any lawman's badge would be big enough for Leif Tugwell to hide behind.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
Get him out of here. Here's his gun. You can give it back to him outside.
Come on, boy. Let's go.
All right, get you in here.
You shouldn't have done that, Matt. You'll just go screw up his courage another notch.
What do you want here in Dodge, Leif?
You getting ready to tell me to leave?
I don't want to. In a way, you and I are sort of brothers under the skin.
We're what?
You were a marshal in San Antone, Leif. Now, why don't you make my job easier for me?
I'll tell you something, Matt. If a man gets tired of running from a lot of would-be gunmen that ain't dry behind the ears, this ain't the first time Gore's tried it on with me.
You mean he followed you here?
All the way from Sweetwater. I pinned his ears back with a bottle down there. This time it'll have to be with a .45.
Aren't you forgetting something, Leif?
Yeah, what?
About steering clear of trouble while you're here? Saw your light, Doc.
Oh, I'm glad you came up. I've been alone here watching these test tubes last 6 hours.
Oh? That looks like blood.
It is. Probably the easiest blood ever drawn in Dodge. He was willing.
Who was it?
Now, Matt, I don't ask you who got picked up for being drunk on Front Street.
Okay, Doc, I'm sorry. What I really came to see you about was Leif Tugwell.
What about him?
Now, you've known him a long time, Doc. I want you to help me talk him into leaving Dodge.
He'll be leaving tomorrow, Matt.
Well, I want him out before he has to kill a man. And tomorrow may be too late.
I promised Leif a while ago I wouldn't discuss this, but under the circumstances, I better tell you. That's his blood in those tubes. He can't hold a gun, much less pull the trigger.
What?
There's no cure for the disease Leif has. Nobody even knows what causes it. The nervous system goes to pieces, and so does the muscle control.
Why didn't he tell me?
Well, put yourself in Leif's spot. He was a big man once. Weakness doesn't come easy to that kind.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Doc. I probably would have done the same thing.
Well, anyway, you got no cause to worry about Leif Tugwell killing anybody.
No, Doc. But what about his getting killed? Chester.
Hmm?
Hey, Chester. Look, Chester, there's no sense in both of us keeping a night watch. Why don't you go get some sleep, huh?
Well, I tried to, Mr. Dillon. But I keep thinking of the way I treated Leif Tugwell. You know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going over to his hotel first thing in the morning and apologize. He was mighty patient with Gore.
He was patient because he had to be, Chester.
Had to be. Forevermore, Mr. Dillon. Leif could have ate that young fool for supper.
Could have, maybe. But not now. He's a sick man, Chester. He can't even use a gun anymore.
He tell you that?
No, but Doc did. That's why Leif came to Dodge. He figured maybe Doc could help him.
Well, why the Sam Hill didn't he say something?
Well, all he's got left is his pride, Chester. When a man becomes a legend, he wants to keep it that way, I guess.
Marshal
Dillon. Marshal? Yeah, what is it, Gore?
That hotel across the street. That's where Leif Tugwell stands.
Oh, is it?
Now, you know it is, Marshal. And I know he's got to come out sometime. Did you hear what he'd done to me?
He said something about it.
He shamed me. Hit me with a bottle right in front of the whole town of Sweetwater.
He only did it to keep from killing you, son.
You got it wrong, Marshal. It's me he's going to kill him.
Why don't you go back to Texas, Gore?
Oh, I will, Marshal. I will.
I know your kind, Gore. You listen to too many lies around a campfire. You got no hair on your face, but you blow yourself up to the size of a man.
You got no call talking to me this way.
You shut up and listen. Now, being cock of the walk isn't all you've got it figured to be. You talk a lot about killing, but there's being killed, too, and you're dead a long time.
Is that all, Marshal?
Yeah, that's all.
I think I'll go get me a drink. Join me?
No, thanks. I'm superstitious.
Mr. Dillon. Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
You better come quick. They're out in front of the Long Branch. Leif and that young fella Gore. They're fixing to have a showdown.
Leif knows he can't pull a gun.
Well, he don't act like it. How are you going to stop him?
That's Gore I'm going to stop. Leif doesn't need stopping. Yeah, you wait here, Chester.
Yes.
Leif!
Stay out of this, Matt. It'll be self-defense on both sides. No law against that, is there, Marshal?
No, there isn't, son. You know, Leif, this kind of reminds me of the time you killed those three men in Abilene. That's the fastest draw I ever saw.
I told you to stay out of this, Matt. You're too far away, Gore. Never hit a man from there. You're going to fight, come a little closer.
I'll call my own hand, Leif.
Trouble with these youngsters is they get nervous, Leif. Worst thing that can happen in a gunfight, son.
I ain't nervous, Marshal.
Why, you don't have to be ashamed of it. There aren't many amateurs like you could face a man like Leif Tugwell without their hands sweating.
Give the boy his chance, Matt.
That's what I'd like to see him have, Leif. Oh, look at him. The boy's hands are starting to twitch right now. He's getting scared, Leif.
I ain't scared.
Well, then, come on, son. Let's get this over with.
Son... sometimes they die slow and hard. A bullet makes a big hole in a man's insides. It can churn him up bad.
You stay out of this, Marshal.
Now, why don't you stay out of it, son? Why don't you clear out? Why don't you get on your horse and go on back to Texas, huh? You got a lot of living ahead of you that way. Here, you haven't got any, and you're smart enough to know it. You can be lying dead there in 5 seconds.
Well, son, you coming at me?
No. No, I ain't. Change my mind.
When you do like the marshal says, you go on home.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right.
All right, folks. The show's over. Now, why don't you all go about your business, huh? Go on.
Well, I guess I'll be moving along, Matt.
Back to Texas?
No, not this time. Maybe I'll go out to California, get myself a small spread, and sit under a tree. Use your words, I'll have a lot of living ahead of me that way.
Yeah, I think you would have.
Goodbye, Mr. Tugwell.
You don't have to call me Mr., son. Goodbye, Matt.
Goodbye, Leif.
By golly, a man like that's got a right to be called Mr.
Yeah, he has that, Chester. He sure has that.
Our star, William Conrad. What makes a nation great? People, of course. Not money or scenery or history, but a strong-minded, intelligent, well-intentioned population. And that's why ACTION came into being. Communities help to shape personalities. Clean, healthful, well-ordered communities make for wholesome citizens, while slums breed juvenile delinquency, maladjustment, and crime. ACTION is the American Council to improve our neighborhoods. Take a look up the street where you live. Is it well lighted? Are sidewalks in good repair? Is garbage disposal efficient? Note the appearance of the buildings. Are they well kept, painted when necessary? And how about the local school, the shopping center nearby, the playgrounds? If an unbiased inspection reveals the signs of blight setting in around your home, CBS Radio suggests you write ACTION, Box 20, Radio City Station, New York City, for information how you and your neighbors can work together to improve your homes and the whole community. That's ACTION, Box 20, Radio City Station, New York City. And now, William Conrad.
You know, scattered along the frontier, there were Plains Indians of many tribes, Pawnee, Kiowa, Cheyenne, Arapaho, Sioux. But next week, a citizen of Dodge nearly dies because of a Great Lakes Indian, a Delaware. And that was the West.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The script was specially written for Gunsmoke by William Lester, with editorial supervision by John Meston. The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin and Sam Edwards. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 30th of September, 1956 on CBS. Closing out this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday, be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.